Welcome to another transformative episode of Meltdown to Mastery with your host, Jane Marchiandi. Today, we have a truly remarkable guest, Victoria Rader, PhD and a possibility coach. She is a visionary founder of You to Shine. Victoria is on a mission to empower humanity, to unlock the extraordinary potential within ourselves by unraveling and resolving hidden, often subconscious challenges and patterns. She's a trailblazer in using innovative possibilities and harnessing the power of universal laws to reignite passion and expand peace, purpose, and prosperity in the lives she touches. Get ready for an inspiring and enlightening conversation as we delve into the secrets of manifesting miracles, uncovering hidden barriers, and tapping into the limitless possibilities that await you. Victoria Rader is here to guide us on a journey toward personal transformation. So if you're seeking greater passion, peace, purpose, and prosperity in your life, stay tuned because you're in for an extraordinary experience. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery, empowering women to overcome midlife crisis by rewiring the subconscious mind. Feeling overwhelmed, disillusioned, stuck? We all have. Here we explore inspiration and empowerment to navigate through the tough times and move to a place where hearts soar, minds manifest, and bodies heal. Welcome, Victoria.
Thank you so much, Jane, for having me.
We're going to jump right into the universal laws that allow us to manifest and create our daily reality. But first, I wanted to ask you about your personal story and why you're so passionate about helping people in this way.
Absolutely. You know, I grew up in the former Soviet Union, actually in Ukraine. And as we all know, Ukraine has been placed on the global map in a very tragic way. But one thing that's always been there for us as Ukrainian people is a desire for freedom, regardless of any external circumstance. It's kind of very aligned, I think, with what is happening. Because growing up from the very early age, I did not have too many external freedoms of choices growing up in the former Soviet Union, you know, pretty much none. We were told who to vote for. We were told which classes to take, what majors we were good for, what sports we were cut out for. You couldn't travel because you had to have exit visa, which would allow you to leave the country. And of course, the country did not let you travel. And so the gift of that repression of freedom outside allowed for me to discover an inner freedom and to polish the ability that no matter what, nobody could rob my inner peace. Nobody could walk through my heart and through my mind. And in a way, instead of falling, I guess, victim to the brainwashing, I was kind of tucked away into this sacred space of creation. And that's, of course, not at the time. I didn't understand any of it at the time. This is many decades later, looking back. And I have my mom and dad to thank for it. And so I started dreaming very early on. I started imagining myself standing on the Great Wall of China or being at a great Taj Mahal. And nothing short of a miraculous, with a country falling apart, with marrying my husband, with leaving a country. And now, 3 decades later, with 48 countries and counting, being able to sit down and say, wait a minute, how did a girl who every summer spent at her grandma's house without indoor plumbing and with an outhouse. So if you wanted to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, you were on your own. You had to get out and you had to hike quite a bit to get to the outhouse. All of a sudden is the same girl who has a beach home facing the gorgeous Atlantic Ocean. How did it happen for me? And over the years of understanding the path that it has taken me and the passion of sharing it with others has really been the main joy in my life.
What an incredible story. And I just, one of my main messages is that our source of power is within us. And if we don't give it away to outside sources, we discover how powerful we really are. And isn't that you're a beautiful story of exactly that?
You know, when I was a little girl, I was about 5. I had a very interesting, once again, in retrospect, very learning and teaching story. I was left with my grandpa, my dad's dad, to watch me. Both parents were working. And, you know, I wanted to play. I had my doll, and my doll, in my mind, needed a little dress hanger. And so I looked around looking to create a dress hanger for my girl, for my doll. And finding no better place, I pulled out a metal hairpin out of my hair and I stuck it into the socket, into the electrical outlet. And now this is Ukraine. So the electricity is twice what it is in the US pretty much. And gratefully, I did not get electrocuted because the resistance in the fuses stopped the charge. The fuses blew. So did my grandpa that ran into the room, you know, furious with what happened. But if you think about it, resistance stopped the power. There is the same amount of electrical power coming into every single house, into every single outlet. But the amount of the output of the power as light is determined by the resistance within the light bulb. So a 100-watt light bulb is bright and beautiful, and a 15 light bulb is very dim. Both have the same input. The resistance within is what determines the output. And so I truly know it to be true that all of us are resourced by the same great source. Call it God. I call it God, greater world designer. Call it universe, the source of all life and light. We're resourced equally to the access of the infinite light. Resistance we put to this light is what determines the amount of output, how bright we shine in our life. And so over the years, I've started studying what is the resistance to this light. And, you know, with different techniques like EFT or theta healing is beautiful because it breaks it down to, is it your genetics? Is it your upbringing? Is it common consciousness, history level of what has happened? Which part of you is creating resistance to this divine, vibrant source of light that we all have come fully resourced by?
Right. And often that resistance can be unconscious programming, in that we just don't feel we're worthy, or we feel abandoned young, or, you know, this kind of, or we're just afraid. And so is that some of the resistance you speak of?
I believe all of those programs that, you know, as you mentioned them, are all a part of describing our fear of being separate from the source. It's that separateness versus oneness. It's for different people, it's formulated differently based on, you know, their internal wiring, whether it is common consciousness or subconscious of your genetics. But it is the illusion of, you know, you've mentioned abandonment, and for me, that wound of abandonment as an illusion of being separate from the ones that I love has been a very present theme, you know, from the funny story of my mom needing to go to work and dropping him off at the babysitter's house when I'm knocking on the door and the babysitter's not opening. And I run out of the apartment building and I'm running after a trolley, you know, on the street in Ukraine trying to catch my mom. And this silly event, really, but a traumatic event for a child who by that age has witnessed 2 very traumatic deaths in my family, and then a very traumatic event of somebody being drowned in front of me. And so, you know, this cadence of abandonment of life and presence of death has been a very interesting story. And the reason I'm sharing it is because the alignment of your question is not lost on me at this very moment, because at the time we're recording this conversation, I'm launching a very sacred journal that is meant to connect the spirit of the departed ones with the loved ones on this side, to communicate the belonging and the oneness and the love and the presence, and heal the wound of abandonment through death. And so it's fascinating, I think, in terms of alignment, but also in terms of the story of death and dying building up throughout my life, you know, and into the 2013, when I lose 11 very close people to me, really one every month starting in February, completely unrelated, about family and closest friends and clients. And with each death, I'm learning to deepen my relationship with life. And I'm learning that really I am here to receive permission of coming alive fully and living fully, and that anything that is in a way of me claiming my right of being fully alive is a part that I need to allow to die, and that death is a beautiful part of life. So if I keep putting parts of my fear, parts of my ego, parts of my restrictions to die, for the lack of a better word, I claim more and more and more life. And it's a daily process for all of us, accepting death so fully that it no longer threatens us, so that we can live fully and we can claim life and we can allow for the joy of it to start restoring us and healing our wounds.
And that deep contemplation you had that in the end connected you to source. But yeah, fear is a very powerful energy as well that does shut us down. So to come to terms with that, with death especially, is huge. So beautiful, Victoria.
Well, and you know, I think fear is a beautiful companion. And I know it's a unique way to look at that, but there are two parts of us. You know, if you look at our products or branding, either our app, the Power-Me, or my books or journals, Prosper Me, Manifest Me, Miracle Me, Now Hear Me, all of them have little M, big E. And that little M, big E is a reminder of who I am as me and who I believe every one of us to be when we say I am me. Because there is a part of me that is mortal, that is matter, and that materially manifests, right? There's grains of matter that are me. They are me. I know we tend to say, oh, I'm not this body. Of course I am. Here, now, I am that little M. But I'm also great E. I'm energy. I'm eternal. I'm essential and I'm expansive. So the daily game becomes surrendering your little M to your big E. Surrender your mortal to your eternal, your matter to your energy, manifesting to expansive, and material to essential. And I call the little M the scared me. It's its job to be scared. When I am going for my dream, little M has never done it. It's scared for me. It doesn't try to sabotage me. The result is sabotage, but that's never the purpose. The purpose is, I want you to survive. The big E wants to thrive. But the second I get angry at fear, it controls me. So what I say is that it's a daily choice of commitment. There's a scared me and there's a sacred me. Same letters, one shift of letter C, C of commitment. So I'm going to commit to love the scared me. I'm going to not punish her, not kick her to the curb. I'm going to say, I got you. I know you're scared, and I'm going to guide you through it, and we're going to go do it together anyway. Because love does conquer fear. It does conquer fear daily. It's not a one-time decision. I wake up in the morning and I say, that's it. I am fearless. I am brave. I am brilliant. That's great. And that's what denial sounds like. But in a daily life through this mortal matter, I'm going to say, do not hide the scared part. Talk to me. Tell me everything you're afraid of so that I can love you through it and we can do it anyway. That to me is a more compassionate way to live into thriving, you know, to step into thriving without denying a part of who you are.
Right. Because it really is a part of being mortal. And that part of us is here to keep us alive. Like even the subconscious programming is here to keep us alive and well. So to embrace it rather than push it under the surface is, really, it's empowering, isn't it? It's not that we can live without it, but it empowers us.
Absolutely. I think when you look at the power cycle, you know, we all go through these cycles based on different areas of our life. And once again, awareness, we talked about the laws of manifesting. Awareness is going to be the first law to any creation, including manifestation. And so the awareness of which stage you are and what area of your life allows for you to shift to the next stage. So when something happens in our life, it's normal for us to first react, oh, that happened to me. It's normal to be for a second in that victim mentality of things are happening to me, because we got to hear the M part saying, golly, I lost my job. That did happen to me. And then shift effortlessly out of the powerless me, things are happening to me, to what Les Brown calls power hunger, but power presence, me saying, if it's happening to me, it simultaneously is happening for me. So great, let me collect all the lessons of what has happened so that I know that it has happened for me so I can expand. But what I see is the spiritual ego then latches on to this is happening for me. And we have a culture of self-righteousness and narcissism because we're demanding that things are happening for me. How self-centered is that, right? It's a powerful way to get out of victimhood, but it's a dangerous place to stay. So then the much higher frequency would be to say, wait a minute, this happened to me. I've learned that it also happened for me. Now, the true empowerment is, how do I allow for it to unfold through me for the benefit of all? I believe our humanity is stuck on the shift out of whining victimhood happening to me and healing narcissism. Oh no, it's happening for me. And I think the open door invitation is great to me, for me. And now, how am I going to shift it through me for all involved? I think that's where we're beautifully stepping into the cycle of empowerment.
Yes, now that's a lot to unpack right there. That's so beautiful. Because it is that last little bit that really is the important nugget, isn't it? In true manifestation, it can't be all about you.
Mm-mm. And I believe for a lot of people, without them realizing it, that is the block. You know, that is the block because they are trying to manifest through the little M of separateness. It is all about me. And just by shifting, just simple shift, it's wonderful to want something material. I will never trash that. That's a part of healing journey. So when you are looking to attract something material into your life, immediately ask yourself, how will it serve my family? How will it serve my clients? Wouldn't it be nicer for all in your life if you no longer wake up in the middle of the night worrying about how to make a paycheck? It's just the true reality. So one of the first steps of when people come to me and say, I'm stuck, I can't manifest it, usually there are three different, you know, programs that prevent it. One that you've pointed out already in our conversation is I'm unworthy of it. I'm unworthy to have it. Who am I to have it? So that, you know, that unworthiness has to be healed. That's the first aspect of blocked manifestation. The second one is misalignment. The misalignment is we think we want something because others wanted it for us, or we look around on social media and we think that's what expected for us to want. or we haven't taken time to really find what it is that we want. And so we're falsely trying to manifest something we don't genuinely desire. What a tragic trap that is. And then it keeps us in that limbo of saying, well, I've tried everything, manifestation doesn't work for me. Oh no, it works perfectly because it prevents you from betraying your desire. So that was that second thing. And the third thing is, once you believe you're worthy, and you are, because you were created for abundance, you were created for prosperity. The very purpose of your creation was for abundance of life to flow through you. So whatever you've done that was unworthy of that knowing, forgive yourself for it. Release it daily. So the first shift in the subconscious is from, I am unworthy of a better life, to, the life that I've lived up to now is unworthy of me. That's a very healing shift. And I'm witnessing, as you know, as the power of the spirit, as the energy flows through all of us, allowing for that shift. Okay, you can find the darkest patterns in your behavior. You have found them. You no longer need to hide them. That was the scared part of you pushing you for survival. Forgive that part and realize that pattern of behavior is unworthy of the divine being you are, not the other way around. And remind yourself every time the scared part drives you into unworthy patterns. Forgive them, release them, move on. So then you step into, what is it that I really want? And for that, I would invite everybody to take four very powerful questions without skipping to the next one, because each one opens a new level of consciousness. The first question, what is it that I want? And write everything. Everything your heart desires, no matter how good or bad it is, without judgment. I want to eat 5 chocolate cakes every day and not gain weight. Is it realistic? No. Is it that what I want? Yeah, I'm going to give myself permission to want all the unreasonable things because they need to come out of me on that piece of paper, not to prevent what I really want. And the next question is, what is it that I want the most? Now, the answer to that question might be in a list that came through you, or it might be something absolutely different. The next question, what outcomes do I want? You see, we want things not because of things, but because of the way those things will make us feel. What outcomes do I want? If I said what I want the most is a new car, what do I want the new car for? Is it the confidence, the feeling of newness, the feeling of I've made it? What outcome, what feeling am I seeking? The fourth question, what outcome do I want the most? And now you're going to find the one feeling that your soul desires for you to step into. Once you find that feeling, then the process of manifestation begins, where every night you're going to say, I already have this in my life. What does it look like? What would it look like for you if you felt that way already? And then in the morning, the following day, you're going to ask, what is one decision I have to make? One action I am to take from the place of feeling this way, right? And I'm giving a very simple, profound system for manifestation aligned with your desire. And then if you run into any block, it's because you forgot to include that oneness. So what outcome do I want the most? And if it is the sense of belonging, how do I belong in a way that makes everyone else around me feel they are belonging? And once you truly lean into the, you know, 40 years of experience and 20 years of teaching this system that we've done in like 5 minutes, I promise you there is infinite golden offering here.
I think the soul's desire is something we should talk more about. And I think it's a very important part of this.
Absolutely. I think we are, you know, you've talked of the fear as the language of expressing a need to survive. And it's important for our little matter to survive, because if we jump off the cliff thinking we've managed ability to fly, our soul will not have ability to fulfill its mission, right? So it's saying, okay, jumping off the cliff right now, not a good idea. But what is it that I really want that represents that desire to jump off the cliff? And usually it's, I want freedom, right? I want freedom. In what way does my soul desire freedom? And that comes as in, usually it's freedom from something or someone, freedom to do something so that we can be someone. It's very important to go into all three. What am I desiring to be free of? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a pattern. So we've got to address it on a survival habitual level. What is it that I strive, want to be free to do? That kicks in your mindset, your ability to create, to dream. But the soul desire is that freedom to be who? Who am I desiring to be through the process of attracting these things? Who have I come to be? And soul seeking and finding who you have come to be frees you to aligning things to do to support who you are, and then attracts material proof, social proof of you living the freedom of being who you've come to be. They are, our souls leaves little secrets for us along the ways. You can go back to your childhood. What is it that brought you most joy? What did you love doing a lot? And then fast forward it to today. What is the one topic you can't stop talking about, researching about? It just flows you and through you. Now, for professional use, if you want to turn that into a business, the question would be, how do I turn it into a service to humanity that I can then monetize for mutual profitability, for humanity to profit from my gift, and for me to profit financially for sharing it? That's just the journey of an entrepreneur. If you are not an entrepreneur, if you're happy at your daytime job and you're actually looking to step into that purpose, you're going to ask a different question. Not how do I monetize it, but how do I maximize it in addition to my full-time occupation? So do what gives you life. Start noticing, back to the first law, you know, one of our signature programs, Abundant Me Coaching, is a year-long program that opens six mental faculties of creating your reality by maximizing and optimizing a new law that supports one of those faculties every 2 weeks. But the very first law, as we've mentioned, is the law of awareness. You cannot bypass the law of awareness. So start being aware this very moment. What energizes you? What brings you joy? A lot of people start creating their life with imagination without having perceived first what flows them, what brings them light. And so those visions fall flat and they crash because they're fake images. They're not genuine imaginations. After all, imagination, you cannot out-imagine your self-image, and your self-image is a hidden reflection of your self-worth, and your self-worth is healed through your genuine perception. So that first faculty is perception, and the first law of that faculty is awareness. So for our conversation today, notice what brings you joy. Find a way to do more and more and more of it.
Right, because that's the clue to soul purpose is joy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Victoria, are there any universal laws that can stop manifestation or make it more difficult to achieve? Like, I think one of the universal laws is that's very important is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And, you know, just not stealing. And, you know, some of the really basic things that we often...
Mm-hmm.
put in the backseat these days.
it's a great question, the way you're framing it, because the answer to the question, you know, which laws can stop us is actually very simple. All but one. All laws but one, and I'll talk about that one. All laws but one work for us or against us based on how we work with them, period. You can take the basic physical law of gravity. It is an amazing law. It works in our favor, allows us to walk without flying off into space, build building, drive cars. But if I'm going to make a mistake and fall off the tree because I am disrespecting the mastery of the law, it's going to work against me. So the laws just are. Our relationship with the law determines whether it'll work for us or against us. So the beautiful golden rule law that also is called the law of karma or the law of harvest, or the law of cause and effect, different concepts and descriptions, same principle. And that is you reap what you sow. A lot of people are unaware of what they sow. I'll give you a great example. This is just going to bring a smile to all of us because all of us are quote unquote guilty as charged. How many people do you know that are looking for a good deal and a good sale? And they're always on a hunt to, oh my gosh, I just got such a great deal. I got something for nothing, pretty much. Mm. And those same people, present company included, are shocked that our clients don't want to pay us full price. How dare they? I mean, how dare they? And so I think what we think we are sowing and what we're actually sowing are very rarely the same picture. So we can know what we're sowing, but what it is that we're reaping, right? So at least to the point of awareness, sowing generosity, sowing offering what you've got. And just for the fun of it, go into a place where I'm not talking about being wasteful, because that's also a law. Never be wasteful with your money. Don't heal, don't harm your soul by healing your ego, you know. Don't buy something you can't afford. That's not healing, that's harming. But afford the best quality you can wisely afford. And when you afford the best quality without looking for a quote-unquote good deal on it, send so much gratitude for every human being that has created the experience for you. So if you're going to go to your favorite restaurant, create an experience of gratitude that is highly emotionally charged. When you order the menu, I want you to hold the menu, whether in your phone, being blown away by the technology that allows you to have the menu on the phone, or in your hands, talking to the tree that has joyfully given you capacity of a textile feeling of the menu. Sit at the table, touch the texture of the table, be amazed by centuries of human innovation that allows you to sit on the chair, look at the light in the restaurant, and when you're pretty much sobbing because you're surrounded by this much miraculous, a human being comes to you and asks you how to serve your needs. What a phenomenally sacred experience that we have taken for granted. And then we turn around and we say, people take me for granted. People don't appreciate me. People don't know. Whoa, wait a minute. Did you cry at walking into the grocery store at the immensity of universal offering of sacred experience every time your grocery shopping is? And it sounds like delusional, but I'm so passionate about the gorgeous principle that I am gifting here. When you resurrect the miracle of what you have, God is so eager to abundantly bring so much more. And so when people come to me and they talk about the law of giving and receiving, you know, in our Abundant Me coaching, giving and receiving is one of the intuition faculty's laws. And I have shifted it to receiving and giving. And it even sounds funny because we're taught giving and receiving. But the reality is the way you receive will determine the way you give. That'll determine the way you receive. Because if you take things for granted, think of the power of English language. If you take things for granted, you're blocking your capacity to receive. And so opening those receptors through immense awareness of gratitude for the abundance you already have opens your receptors through the law of receiving and giving, through the law of cause and effect that we started this journey with, through the law of awareness, and those are just the three laws, to be able to receive so much more. So that's, that is the process. And the one thing that is coming through also is that I've mentioned in the beginning, there's one law that always works for us, and that is the law of grace. The law of grace cannot be mastered. It is offered to us to accept if we choose to, and it always works for us. So that's one hidden gem.
Right? Yes, and to receive with graciousness, it's an interesting experience when you allow it. So many don't even allow, because they don't feel they're worthy, we don't allow to truly feel a compliment, or like we repel it, we brush it off. It's really incredible what you're talking about.
Well, I think it goes back to the wounded self-worth is the lack of ability to perceive yourself for the divine being you are. And the only way you can start doing that is through the law of gratitude, of perceiving the miracles that are already there. Because the second you take for granted what has already happened, you numb the capacity of perceiving life as miraculous and yourself as a miracle, and you detach from your self-worth, and that numbs your ability to receive even the good offering that others are trying to give you. Mm. And as you've said, to repel them. Yep.
Mm. Yeah. And, you know, even when you think things are going bad, to turn your energy toward what you're grateful for in that moment can switch your perception so quickly.
Mm-hmm. You know, in Prosper Me book, I did the book on 35 laws of prosperity, Prosper Me. And one of those laws is the first law, is the law of gratitude for the reasons we discussed. And in that law, I was describing how I was growing up in Ukraine without heat in winter, really, just minimal heat. It was freezing cold winters. I would put like cotton balls in the windows and paper and make glue out of flour and water to tape the windows to prevent the draft. And then I would open the, I don't recommend it, by the way, I would open the oven, the gas oven, and turn it on in the kitchen. To warm the kitchen up to be able to study. I mean, it's just, and so, you know, I remember the first time I was learning gratitude, or meeting the law of gratitude, I was forcing myself to be grateful for it because of lessons I learned. And for me, I'm a very authentic person, and every word either resonates or not. And so then I started having this conversation with Creator, you know, saying, I'm refusing to be grateful for it. Like, it's because what you're grateful for, you appreciate and you create more of. And the insight came in is that in those difficult situations, you know, if somebody was severely abused, I don't think we're asked to be grateful for abuse. We're asked to be grateful through it, that we made it through, and for the lessons that it has given us. And from my mind, it brought immense peace to say, there were horrible things that happened to me, to my loved ones. I'm not going to force myself to be grateful for the act that was unworthy of that soul and unworthy of me to experience. But I'm going to be grateful that I made it through. I'm going to be grateful for every single lesson learned. And please, God, if there is a better way to learn this lesson, please show me the way, because I'm not grateful for that particular way to learn the lesson. And I think it's important to give yourself permission to be asking to learn better lessons in a better way. Otherwise, we cycle through the same lesson over and over and over and over again.
Oh, how beautiful. You can ask, right?
All right. Yeah. It's like, hey, hello. Yeah. I know I might not be getting it, but can I please have it in a way that doesn't hurt as much?
Right. I'm open to that. Hello.
Yeah, exactly.
But then, yeah, it's the awareness, right? That you know there's a lesson there and now you're willing to learn it in a different way. Yeah. I like that. Beautiful.
You know, until you ask, the answer is always no. Whether it's just the beautiful thing from practical M to spiritual E, for your mortal matter or for eternal energy, until you ask, it's a no. It's good to ask.
All right. Victoria, I want you to share how people could get more of you, because it's pretty powerful. But do you have any really important nuggets left to share before you do that?
I think what is coming through me, I think human life has been devalued so greatly for all of us. And I think the belief that starts devaluing our life is that somehow who we are doesn't matter. We're just a small little speck. And especially if you're looking or listening, you know, to somebody like me who looks like I've gotten these accolades or accomplishments or books, and you can falsely judge the achievement for the process of the soul. You know, I struggle every day. It's very important to know it. I reclaim my life every day. I choose joy every day. It's not an autopilot. But what I do want to say is that if that lie comes into your mind, just realize if there was a better way to fill the space and time continuum that you currently occupy, the great intelligence, source, God, creator, would have done it so. And so with any and all of your struggles, with any and all of your limitations, with any and all your fears, you are exactly where you are, because this is the most beautiful and empowering way for space and time to unfold. Just remember that. And at that moment when a false voice questions, do I even matter? Shift it immediately to, show me where I am to matter to someone today. Give me the name. Who's the one person I can reach out to right now? The name will come into your mind immediately. And when you serve and when you love, you restore yourself worth. So if you're breathing, there's a reason why. Find it with the simplicity of one name. And that's the most important message that is coming through me at this time for anybody. You're just finding how you matter, not if you matter.
Mm. So beautiful, Victoria. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And in terms of finding me, you can always contact me via the website, yu2shine.com. And I have a free, beautiful community that I've just started building on Facebook at freeme.coach. So that's probably, if you have Facebook, is a fun place to find us. And to get a free meditation, we've talked a lot about scared and sacred. We have a beautiful 6-minute meditation that allows for your sacred me to love your scared me. And that meditation is found on choosesacred.me.
Okay. And I'll put those in the show notes. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you.
From the bottom of my heart. It was just a beautiful time with you.
Thank you so much, Jane. And thank you for creating this sacred space. And I want to talk to your listeners, because I've had a podcast, I'm thinking of resurrecting it, the love, the dedication, the commitment, the purity of spirit that is required to do that is so often underappreciated. Mm-hmm. And the reason I will always pour my time and offer the immense value into podcasts like yours is because I know that you were called to do it, and that infinite souls that you will impact might or might not have an ability to thank you. So I thank you on their behalf.
Thank you, Victoria. Thank you so much.
If you've enjoyed the information in this episode, share it with someone you care about and know will benefit. There is one thing for certain. Meltdowns are inevitable. Let's move into mastery together. In the show notes, you'll find my link tree, which has links to many of the most popular platforms. You'll also find links to connect to the featured guest, webpage, and social media. Thanks again for being committed to mastery. Change in this world really starts within each of us.